Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle with me, Manisha Tank, Elliot Danker and Ryan Hwang. Just bringing you some numbers before we get into the bigger picture on the coronavirus from China. 72,436 people are now confirmed to have the disease on the mainland. 1,868 people have died.
But we are seeing the numbers not increasing too dramatically on a daily basis, at least the past 4 days or so. Apple has talked about, you know, how they are going to suffer.
Yeah, so their manufacturing facilities are beginning to reopen, but they are ramping up a lot more slowly than they expected to do. And this is probably part of why we've had some negative revenue guidance from Apple. So that's been pretty much a profit warning. Also, global supplies of Apple iPhones likely to be limited. The sites that work towards you know, producing them, a lot of them have been shut down. So they're not operating at full capacity.
Of course, weaker demand will mean the commodities picture also affected. So that is putting a dent on BHP's outlook. Of course, this is the Australian mining giant. So they are painting a rather gloomy picture and rather, I guess, double whammy for Australia. General Motors yesterday saying they are pulling out of the market in Australia, New Zealand and Thailand and shutting down the iconic brand Holden. So quite big news there in Australia. And of course, this might see ripple effects for other regions as well. And to get a bigger picture, we've got Tamor Beg. He is the chief economist at DBS Bank. Morning, Tamor. How are you doing?
Good morning, Van. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, Tamor, always great to chat with you. And I want to get your thoughts first on what's happening with Singapore. Yesterday, we had the worst full-year growth performance being reported, about 0.7%. And you had the full-year growth outlook being downgraded. Of course, all this on the back of the COVID-19 outbreak potentially weighing on businesses and the growth growth picture. How bad is this year's growth outlook for you right now?
Well, we titled our publication from yesterday as it was a tough 2019 and there'll be another tough 2020. Look, we started 2020 with some guarded optimism. We saw telltale signs of the global electronic cycle bottoming. Orders had picked up. Shipments were about to pick up. Now this COVID-19 episode has delayed that onset of optimistic outturns. But I will still say it's delayed, not canceled. As you can see from Apple's guidance today, it is not a question of orders being canceled and things are not getting produced. They're just getting delayed. When the workers come back, we will see a massive jump in production. If need be, people will work triple shift to make up. So on the manufacturing side, which is a very big determinant of whether it is Apple or Singapore's outlook, I am not that pessimistic. It can be made up, provided the gap in production is not many, many months, but just a matter of, say, a month or so.
All right, Tamor. So you're painting a rather, I guess, not too bearish picture. What type of picture should we be bracing for? What type of recovery are we looking out for maybe sometime later this year?
It is clear to me that the market is prepared for a V-shaped recovery. Not a gradual recovery, but a dramatic pickup in activity in the second quarter. I mean, if you look at what has happened with the equity markets, if you look at what has happened with credit, corporate credit and the spreads, which should be going up at a time when we're worried about growth outlook, they're actually narrowing in many parts of the world, including in China, because the expectation is, A, it's a V-shaped recovery, so don't worry too much. B, there's going to be significant policy intervention from fiscal and monetary side, easing liquidity, giving cash to businesses that are struggling, and therefore debt sustainability or bankruptcy-related concerns are not something that is yet paramount. So it's an intriguing set of reaction that the market has had over the last 4 weeks. On one hand, we have a lot of panic and concern and some fake news here and there. On the other hand, very straight market response, not panic at all.
And Tamor, looking across to other places, you've got Thailand also reporting its numbers. Q4 GDP down 2.4%, or rather the full year is at 2.4%, the lowest in 5 years. Are we expecting more rate cuts for Thailand, a weaker baht ahead? What's the picture for Thailand looking like right now?
So I'll draw a small parallel between the Singapore sort of dollar outlook and Thailand's dollar outlook, which is in the case of Thailand, tourism matters much, much more. For Singapore, tourism matters, but it is about 5% of GDP. In the case of Thailand, it's close to 10% of GDP. So when the Chinese tourists stop coming, the outlook for Thailand from the negative in the tourism sector is much graver than it is in the case of Singapore. So that's the reason we are even more concerned about the Thai outlook than the Singapore outlook. Now, as far as policy response is concerned, Thailand has gone through a bit of a capitulation. The central bank for a long time preferred worrying about financial stability and therefore held a rein on interest rates. Although it was quite low, they could have gone lower, but they didn't. Seems like that capitulation has happened, and they are willing to entertain less than 1% interest rate, heading towards 0.75 and so on. So yes, it is possible to see further monetary accommodation there through the course of 2020.
Maybe more monetary policy accommodation there for Thailand. Timor Beck, Chief Economist for DBS Bank with us. Timor, turning our attention to Japan. They also had numbers out yesterday, and now it seems they may be facing the risk of a technical recession. So the fourth quarter numbers came in rather weak at a drop of 6.3%, nearly double what the market was looking out for. And a big factor of it, of course, the sales tax high in October seems to be bit of a hit. And the auto industry also a bit of a drag. You have the Tokyo Olympics, though, coming up this year. That was supposed to be a boost. How much of it now will it help? Or will it be a disappointment?
No, it should not be a disappointment. I think Japan is pulling out all stops to draw the world toward the Olympics-related activities. And this is going to be a very special kind of Olympics in the sense that they're going to showcase green technology and a lot of sustainable ways to deal with the games. From the cars that will be driven, which are all electric, to the material that will be used, most of it will be recyclable. So I think it will be a wonderful display of Japan's soft power. Again, the coronavirus episode has dampened the outlook for the time being, but you know, the incidence of illness in Japan is close to zero, basically, very, very small, cruise ships notwithstanding. So I wouldn't worry too much. We're only in February. Olympics are many months away. Once this settles, and it will settle, I have no doubt in my mind about that, we will go back to the Olympic-related uptick. But as you correctly pointed out, the idiosyncratic factors associated with Japan's slowdown were well understood by the market. The consumption tax was going to lead to a hit in consumption. There was quite a bit of front-loading of consumption done ahead of the cut. That helped GDP earlier, and then brought back GDP down in Q4. If tourism gets affected, Chinese tourism not allowed to come to Japan, of course, that's a negative for the outlook. But just like Singapore, Japan doesn't depend that much on tourism the way a Vietnam or Thailand does.
Okay. Of course, we hope the Olympics will go on as scheduled despite the ongoing COVID-19 outbreak. Turn our attention to General Motors. They have pulled out of Australia, New Zealand and Thailand. So we've seen this, I guess, signs of this happening. The auto industry under pressure. And of course, General Motors will be retiring the iconic Australian car brand Holden. What's the picture like for auto industry? Are you expecting more pain ahead in the year 2020 for other countries as well?
It's hard to be optimistic. The industry is going through massive recalibration. It is being disrupted through emission standards, through the challenge from battery-driven electric cars, but most importantly, it is being driven by a change in ownership attitude. The ride-sharing, ride-hailing apps have reduced the need to have a car that sits in your garage for many, many hours and then gets driven for half an hour in the course of a day, as opposed to, sit there and order a taxi. So I think there's a generational shift going on around the world in terms of people's attitude toward ownership, and that is having a massive structural negative impact on the demand for autos. And so auto industries themselves have to reinvent themselves, make cleaner cars, more fuel-efficient cars. Perhaps many of them will be geared toward taxi fleets and ride-sharing fleets and not necessarily for outright ownership. And I have a feeling companies like GM are still grappling with how to recalibrate to this very different future. They've had one set of business models for about 100 years, appealing to people's aspiration for auto ownership, which now is breaking down. It's hard for these companies to deal with that, and they have disruptive competitors. I mean, whether you have Tesla in the U.S. or NIO in China, it's not like a static industry. Things are changing very dramatically, and I think these Fords of the world, the GMs of the world, are definitely struggling substantially.
Yeah, definitely age of disruption for many industries. We've been chatting with Timor Beck. He is the Chief Economist for DBS Bank. Timor, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Ryan. Take care.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.